Lord, grant us your mercies. And Lord, as we come to your word, give us light and understanding, Lord, that we may learn from you, from your word, given so long ago, and yet, Lord, it's the living word. It's not dead, Lord, it's alive. May your Holy Spirit take it and use it in our hearts this morning. Bless us, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. The war of the wives. How about that? We're going to read Genesis 31-26. That's the passage we're looking at. It's the first half of Genesis 30. There they are. Their names are Leah and Rachel. Yeah? So that's in Genesis 30. And we're going to see how they get on. Or don't, as the case may be. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. And so she said to Jacob, "Give me children or I'll die." Jacob became angry with her and said, "Am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children?" Then she said, Here is Bilhah, my maidservant. Sleep with her so that she can bear children for me, and that through her I too can build a family." So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife. Jacob slept with her, and she became pregnant and bore him a son. Then Rachel said, "God has vindicated me. He has listened to my plea and given me a son." Because of this she named him Dan. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "I've had a great struggle with my sister and have won." So she named him Naphtali. When Leah saw that she'd stopped having children, she took her maidservant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, "What good fortune!" So she named him Gad. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "How happy I am! The women will call me happy." So she named him Asher. During wheat harvest, Reuben went into the fields and found some mandrake plants, which he brought to his mother, Leah. Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Wasn't it enough that you took away my husband? Will you take my son's mandrakes too?" "Very well," Rachel said. "He can sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes." So when Jacob came in from the fields that evening, Leah went out to meet him. "You must sleep with me," she said. "I've hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he slept with her that night. God listened to Leah, and she became pregnant and bore Jacob a fifth son. Then Leah said, "God has rewarded me for giving my maidservant to my husband." So she named him Issachar. Leah conceived again and bore a sixth son, Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, "God has presented me with a precious gift. This time my husband will treat me with honor, because I have borne him six sons." So she named him Zebulun. Sometime later she gave birth to a daughter named Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and opened her womb. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son and said, "God has taken away my disgrace." She named him Joseph and said, "May the Lord add to me another son." After Rachel gave birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me on my way so that I can go back to my homeland." Good story, eh? It reminds me, just by way of introduction, it's a mess, isn't it? It reminds me of a time when we had a specialist to Sunday school, a youth worker, come to show us how to do it properly at the church I used to be at Soane. And we were youth leaders in those days, and my friend Dick, he was one of them as well. He's a good man, Dick. He still is. We had this youth leader with our youth, and didn't they put him through it, you know? And he said at the end of it, Dick said, he says, "I'm right encouraged, you know. If they gave him all that hassle, I can manage as well." Yeah. And so, the lesson out of this, I'll draw it again at the end, is if God can work through this lot, he can work through anybody. Yeah. So let's have a look at our story, shall we? Yeah. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing any children, she became jealous of her sister. Oh dear, she became jealous. Is that sad, isn't it? Yeah. Why did she become jealous? Because she saw Leah had got something that she hadn't got. That was little children. Yeah. And why is jealousy a sin?
Because you covet.
Covet.
You're coveting? That's breaking one of the commandments. But what's wrong with the heart of jealousy?
It's this. Keeps you awake.
Well, keeps you awake, keeps you in all those problems, yes. But the heart of the problem with jealousy is this. You're complaining really about how God's given you what you've got. Yeah? God hasn't done the fair deal by me since somebody else is doing better than I am. Is that? It's complaining against God at the end of it. That's the problem with jealousy. Of course, it eats away. So, Rachel, lovely Rachel, is being eaten up inside with jealousy. Not good. Right, next one, please. So, she said to Jacob, give me children or I'll die. So she goes to Jacob and says, give me children! Who's she blaming?
God.
She's blaming Jacob now. Yeah? It's your fault I haven't got any kids. That's what she's saying, isn't it? Of course. It's not his fault because he is having kids with others, so it's not his, it's the problem. But isn't it interesting, when you've got a problem, you look for somebody else to blame. Isn't that strange? These humans are funny people, you know. Who are you blaming now for what's happening to you, eh? Ah, right. So who do you blame when it seems to go wrong? Oh dear, Rachel. She's not doing very well, is she, bless her? Oh well, just like the rest of us, isn't she? Yeah? Okay, next one, please. Jacob became angry with her and said, am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children? So she gave it to him with both barrels, so he fires back. See, it's not my fault, it's yours! I'm good at having kids, so you can see that. It's you that's the problem. What do you do when someone gives you a bit of a belter? Do you fire back? It's the tendency, isn't it? We defend ourselves by attack, you know. Not good, not good. So, essentially, I feel for Jacob. I feel for Jacob. Because she's saying, it's your problem, you've got to fix this. It wasn't his problem, of course. But how do you feel when you can't fix it yourself?
You scream. It's easy to blame.
You've got to pray about it. Yeah. A personal one, I'm sure my wife won't mind me saying this, when we had our first daughter, Jean had an epidural that didn't work right, and she was unable to walk really for a long, long time. Yes? And it was the first time in my life that I couldn't fix it. I'm a fix-it man, you know? Right? First time in my... Jean says, God knocked me off her pedestal. It was the right place to be off. Yeah. Pedestal's the wrong place to be on. Yeah. But you know, how do you feel when you can't feel? You feel helpless. You feel frustrated. I suspect that's all coming into Jacob's heart at this time. And so that's no wonder he lashes back. But it's not the right way to pray about it. Yeah. God's the giver of all good gifts. So that's what they should have done. Right, next one, please. Yeah. Yeah. Then she said, "Here is Bilhah, my maidservant. Sleep with her so that she can bear children for me, and that through her I too can build a family." So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife. Oh brother, here we go again. We've had this one before with Abraham and Sarah, remember? It didn't come out very good, did it? Oh dear. This isn't going to turn out very well. So, just think about it. What's she doing? She's asking Bilhah to become a surrogate mum so that she can be have a family. Yeah. What's wrong with being a surrogate like that? Is it wrong? They're doing it all the time now. They're doing it all the time. Yeah. What? Could have adopted one if she wanted one, couldn't she? Adoption's fine. Yeah. But this being surrogate, I personally don't think it's right. Yeah. Because it's cutting at the heart of what marriage is about. Yeah. And so, here we have it again. Yes, you can have Bilhah. How do you think she felt? How do you think Bilhah felt?
Used.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, being a servant's one thing, but being taken for a ride is another thing else, isn't it? You know, here she is, being pushed into the position of being a wife. Well, it might elevate her position. Instead of a servant, she becomes a wife, but not good. No, not good. Right, next one, please.
You can't understand why Rachel did feel jealous of Bilhah.
Well, it's her servant, yes. She should have felt jealous of her as well. Yeah, well, it will, I've no doubt. Anyway, I thought you'd like Bilhah there. She looks nice, doesn't she? I had a more flattering picture, but Jean decided this one was the better one. Yeah. Jacob slept with her, and she became pregnant and bore him a son. Why did Jacob go along with this little plan of Rachel.
Is it
the quiet life. I'm sure that's what it was. The quiet life. It's weakness, isn't it? Yeah? It's not good. Yeah? There are things that you shouldn't do, even if it makes you uncomfortable. He should have stood up to this one, but... Right? Not good. Right, next one, please. Then Rachel said, God has vindicated me. He's listened to my plea and given me a son. God has vindicated me. Yes? Is that right? No. I don't think so. I mean, God heard her plea. She wanted a child. But this wasn't the way to go about it. Yes? God's listening, but this isn't the way he wanted to answer. But she's got this child now, and God has vindicated me. Dear friends, it'll come up again as we look in later on, but please don't let blame God. I mean, she's giving him credit in a sense, but don't blame God for the stupid stuff you do that turns out right. Yeah? Yeah? God can overrule in the affairs of people, as he does, but, you know, it's not God's will. That's what I'm getting at. Right, next one, please. Yeah. Because of this, she named him Dan. And Dan means judged. Yeah? God's judged in my favour. He's vindicated me. That's why she called him Dan. Mm-hmm. So a reminder all the time. Basically, what she's doing is, this isn't about the children just, you know. It's about the battle between her and her sister. She's going, to Leah, isn't she?
It's a battle of being who's boss.
Yes. Who's the favourite?
Favourite, yes, yeah.
Okay, so here's number five. This is child number five. He's called Judge. Call him Dan for short. Yes, right. Okay, next one, please. Oh, yeah. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, I've had a great struggle with my sister and I have won. So she named him Naphtali. And Naphtali means struggle. Great, eh? How about that? This is a battle. It's not nothing to do with about kids and loving them and all that sort of stuff. There's not much sisterly love there, is there? You know, they're having children as competition. Not good. Just, it reminds me of a passage in the New Testament. What? I know Rachel and Leah had been messed up by their dad. Laban picked this one. Made a right mess of it, didn't he? Yeah? I know they've been messed about by their dad, but they're sisters. Do you think they could get on?
Yeah.
There's nothing new under this. In one of Paul's letters, he writes to two girls, two ladies. Yeah, they're Christians, workers in the church, good women in their own right. And he says, I plead with Euodia and Syntyche that they agree with one another. Get on together! Yeah? I plead with Euodia and Syntyche. I remember an old preacher talking about that, and he said there was a lady in their church who read the verse and mispronounced it. She said, I plead with Euodia and Syntyche. He says, she got the pronunciation wrong, but the meaning's right. Syntyche. Get very sensitive about things, get upset very quickly. Euodia and Syntyche, well, Leah and Rachel, they've got plenty to get upset about. But sure, they've got plenty to be united about as well, if only, yeah? If only. Right? Anyway, we're not getting there with this lot. Next one, please. When Leah saw that she had stopped having children, she gave her maidservant to Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Oh, brother, here we go again. What have I put that match up, the tennis match there for? There's a clue. What am I trying to say? Two can play at this game. Yeah? Two can play at this game. If Rachel can start giving her maidservant away, Leah can do it too. That's great, isn't it? And of course, Jacob...
He must be going, oh.
Yeah, right. One more lesson which we will draw out at the end. Have you got the idea? Polygamy is not a good thing.
Yeah.
Good, right, yeah. So, here we have the surrogate and adoption. How did Zilpah feel? Used.
Yeah.
Great, eh? What a shame. Next one, please. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, what good fortune. So she named him Gad. So that's his name. If I was translating, I'd call him Lucky. That's what she means. I'll be lucky, yeah. Call him lucky, but good fortune sounds a bit more spiritual, doesn't it, really? You know? Yeah, that's what his name is. Dad.
Sounds more.
Sounds?
I said less sounds
better. Less sounds better, yes.
Well, nothing sounds very joyful,
do they? Well, no. It could be better. We're getting to the joyful bit, though. Next one, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "How happy I am! The women will call me happy." So she named him Asher. And Asher means happy. Fancy being called happy, that's nice, isn't it? Yeah. Better than be called judged. Damn, I mean, you know, it's not good, is it really? Yeah. Yeah. But this is war. She's happy. Why is she happy? Because she's got one over her sister. That's why. Not good. Not good at all. Right. Next one, please. During the wheat harvest, Reuben went out into the fields and brought some mandrake plants, which he brought to his mother Leah. Well, there's a mandrake plant for you. He's about under 10 years old by this time, so he's gone out. Now, just to say a little bit about mandrake plants, they're little rosette-type things. They produce sort of golden apple-type things. They're known in some parts as love apples. They have an association of fertility. I don't think this little Reuben knew anything about that. Whether his mum sent him out for that reason, I don't know. I don't think so, because she's having children now again, isn't she? Yes. I think it's simply this. This is my assumption about it. Little Reuben, he's Leah's firstborn son. He's her favourite. She loves him. And he loves her. And I think in the middle of all this mess, there's some love going on. He goes out and he spots some nice flowers. They're lovely scented flowers, these are. Fragrant plants, yeah? So he goes and picks some for his mum. Nice, eh?
Yeah.
I think that's what's going on. So he goes out and picks some flowers for his mum. Yeah. Okay, good, so far. It's not going to last. Next one, please. Rachel said to Leah, because she saw him coming with these flowers, Rachel said, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." Well, she likes flowers too, doesn't she?
Yeah.
"Please give me some of your son's mandrakes. I like them." Maybe she thought about the fertility thing, I don't know, really. But anyway, "Give me some of your son's mandrakes." Is she trying to be nice?
Yeah.
I think so. I think so at this point, yeah. "Yes, they're lovely flowers. I'd like some. Can I have some?" Yeah. Or share.
Yeah,
sisters, can we share, sisters?
Yeah.
Are you sure now?
Yeah.
Well, let's have a look at what the reaction is. Next one, please. But Leah said to her, "Wasn't it enough that you took away my husband? Will you take my son's mandrakes too?" That's a gentle answer, isn't it? In Proverbs it says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Yes, there's not much love loss going on here, is there really? She bites back. And I've just put the question here. What happens to "this time I will praise the Lord"? Do you remember when she had son number 4, Judah, means praise. And instead of worrying about what her husband thought and anybody else, she says, "This time I will praise the Lord." Good, she got it. It's good, isn't it? Well, what happened?
She lost it. Over her sister.
The lesson I want to draw out, living God's way is a daily challenge, not a once and for all time matter. You know, you can do right one day and blow it the next, dear friend. You need to trust in the Lord day by day. That's important. Your past victories should encourage you in the present, but you can't live on them. You have to live for the Lord today. Dear old Leah, well, it's sad, isn't it, really? You know, God blesses, and this is the thing I want to draw out as well, God blessed this family for the faith that they had. But he didn't bless them because of their sins, you know, he never does, yeah? But they had some faith, didn't they? Jacob believed the promise that was given to Abraham, I'm sure his wives thought the same. Yeah, so, they got God's blessing, but you can't use it as an excuse for sin. That's what's going on, yeah. Right, so, here she is, she's lost the plot today. Hopefully she'll get it back tomorrow, eh? Next one, please. "Very well," Rachel said. "He can sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes." Right? Great, eh? Obviously, this is how they worked it out. They got a plan here. He was with you one day, that one next, and so on, you know. Right? Sometimes it's my turn to go first, sometimes it's not. So that's what they'd arranged. It was obviously Rachel's turn. We could say, but she says, "I'll have the flowers and you can have the Jacob." Fair exchange, isn't it? Yeah. Not bad, yeah. "I'll have the flowers, you have Jacob."
Thank you for coming.
Exactly. Good idea. Right then, next one, please. Yeah. So, when Jacob came in from the fields that evening, dog tired, right, Leah goes out to meet him. "You must sleep with me," she said. "I've hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he slept with her that night, him out. Coming home from the fields tired, and you see these four sets. Yeah. Man. Polygamy is not good. You've got it. You're getting the message, I hope, right? Right, yeah. So, dear old Jacob. Mind you, it's his own fault. He went along with it.
Yeah.
You made your bed, literally. You're lying in it.
And what you read.
Next one, please. God listened to Leah, and she became pregnant and bore a fifth son. Isn't that interesting? Leah prayed. In the middle of the mess, she prays. And God answers. Isn't that amazing? Well, that's God for you. The gracious God. And she has a fifth son. There he is, little fella. What's he going to be called? Is he going to be a nice name, or is he going to be one of these competition names again? Well, let's have a look. Next one, please. Leah said, God has rewarded me for giving my maidservant to my husband. So she named it Issachar. Issachar means reward.
Yeah.
So it's a competition name, isn't it? God's rewarded me for doing this. Did God reward her for doing that?
No.
It's sin, what she's just done. She's given her maidservant to her husband. Yeah? Right? And all of that stuff. But she prayed for a child. God's given her a child. Yeah?
What if the maidservant doesn't want to do it, but she has to do it because she's a slave?
She's a slave, effectively.
So she's got no choice.
No choice.
And she says,
yeah.
I don't want
They're all mess, yeah. But Leah has another baby. This is Leah's baby, yeah. He's her husband, yeah. And God has blessed her with his child. And he says, God has rewarded me for giving my maidservant to my husband. She's giving God the credit for giving her maidservant to her husband. Was that God's will? It wasn't. I certainly wasn't God's will. Right? But somehow God gets the credit for it, doesn't he? You know, there's a danger of reading into things. When things happen, you say, oh, God's done this, God's done that. You know, I know God's behind everything. But some of the things that we do, we give God the blame for, and it's all our fault. It's nothing to do. God can work through the mess. Right? That's the good news. God can work through the mess. But don't start reading into stuff. That's what she's doing.
Yeah.
Next slide, please. Leah conceived again and bore a sixth son. Then Leah said, God has presented me with a precious gift. Now she's got that right, hasn't she? It was a good day that day, obviously. Yeah? God has given me a precious gift. Human life is a precious gift from God. That little baby is a precious gift. All little babies are precious gifts.
Yeah.
And she's thanking God for this little fellow. Right, what are we going to call him?
Zebulun.
Right, let's have a look then. See if that's right. It's a competition name though for all of that. This time my husband will treat me with honour because I've borne him six sons. So she named him Zebulun. Zebulun means a residence, to stay there. In other words, what she's saying is, now my tent's going to be the favourite tent. Top tent, number one. I'm the residential place. I'm top wife, in other words, is what she's saying. Now I've given him six sons, I'm top of the pile. Yeah, so she called him residence. Fancy being called residence. Would you like that? Anyway, there you go, that's it. That's residence. Number 10. Next one, please. Sometime later, she gave birth to a daughter and named her Dinah. Dinah's a female version of Dan. But we only hear about one girl called Dinah. Were there other girls in Jacob's family? I would assume so. I mean, statistics are, in human population, 50-50 is the birth rate. I know statistics, it varies. You know, you can have a lot of boys or a lot of girls. It works that way. But when you have 12 kids, chances of having more than one girl is pretty high, I'd say. Anyway, Dinah's the one that's mentioned, and the reason she's mentioned is...
First.
She's... No, I don't think it's even the first. She comes to play a part in the story later on. It's a bit of a sad story, but Dinah's mentioned later on, so that's where she gets mentioned. If there were other girls, why are they not mentioned?
They didn't do anything.
They didn't do anything. Boys that carry the name. Girls don't count, do you, girls? But you do. Oh, definitely you count, yes. But in the scheme of this hierarchy, that's up. The girls... You see that in Genesis. There's one in chapter 5 with Adam. It says, how many kids did Adam have? Do you know? Well, in chapter 5, it says, Adam lived so many years, and he had other sons and daughters. Well, he had other daughters, so he must have had daughters before the other daughters. We don't know any of them, because it's the male line. It's not because God's against girls. I hope you get that. Why is it the male line?
Because
because that's the descendant line in order to produce the Messiah.
Yeah.
That's what's behind it. God's got Jesus in the plan, so it runs through the male line. But girls, you've got an important part to play. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Yes. Yes. Right. Right. Then the next week. Yeah. Then God remembered Rachel. What? Did God forget her then?
No.
No. What does it mean he remembered?
Well, she must have thought.
She'd been praying.
She'd been praying. Yeah.
And got the.
No. It's just a human term that's saying that God had focused onto her at this point in time.
Yeah.
She's in the plan, of course, but at this point she's now the focus of the plan. Yeah, so that's the idea of remembering, I guess. Yeah, yeah. He listened to her. Isn't that wonderful? She prayed. After all that, instead of giving the servant away and all this stuff, pray! Right, she prayed. And the Lord opened her womb, she became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and said, God has taken away my disgrace. My disgrace. What did she feel about herself?
Not very good.
Not very good. She obviously felt she was inadequate, incomete, all that, not a mother, all of those things. And in that society, that's understandable. But did she worry about what others thought? You know, they all went by with their little kids. And they look at her, oh, she ain't got any kids. Yeah, and maybe she thought that. Brothers and sisters, you know, don't worry about what other people think. You know, they'll pick on somebody else next week and you'll be forgotten, so forget it now. Yeah. But she felt something was inadequate about her. God made up the difference. Yeah. And there's a statement by, what's his name, St. Augustine, one of the early church fathers. This phrase, Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our souls are restless until they find their rest in you. Yeah? There's a God-sized hole in us that only God can fill. Well, she felt being a mum would fill the hole.
Yeah.
Yeah? Did it? Yeah. Let's have a look. Next one, please. Yeah? So she named him Joseph and said, may the Lord add to me another son. She's just got one. She's happy.
No.
I'd like another, please. Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that strange? And do you know the thing that strikes me about all this lot is these are 21st century people, really, aren't they? I mean, they lived in tents and they had their own lifestyles that inside, just the same, because people haven't changed.
No.
That's why the Bible is so relevant. Because it's dealing with people as people really are.
They're not content with what they've got.
So let's have a look at our next one. Here, this one for you, this one. Yeah. She named him Joseph, saying, may the Lord have to be another son. More. If only. Have you ever done that one? If only I had this, if only I did that, I'd be happy. Have you got a bucket list? You know, that's the kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll do this and then I'll be happy. Is that right?
No.
Does it work?
No.
5 minutes and it's over, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the God-sized hole, the problem. So only he can fill it. Only, we sang that song, only you, Lord, can fill my deepest longings. Rachel, you need to get right with God. That'll make a difference. As Leah had done. I assume Rachel had some idea, but Leah's got it, yeah. This time I will praise the Lord. Yeah. Yeah, well, she'd forgotten it a few times, but it's there in the heart. Yeah. Next then, please. After Rachel gave birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, send me on my way so I can go back to my own homeland. Give me my wives and children for whom I have served you, and I will be on my way. So Jacob's thinking it's time we left. Yeah, there's enough hassle around here.
he don't think much of himself if he's saying give me, because they're his anyway.
Ah, but he's dealing with Uncle Laban, or father-in-law Laban. And, you know, it's a patriarchal society.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, top dog, dad. And he can let you up, as he did, yeah? Right? And he's going to again, by the way, but you'll have to wait another time for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's the second part of chapter 30. Oh, Uncle Laban's got a few more tricks up his sleeve. Yeah. Anyway, next then, please. So, some conclusions, and this will finish. Conclusions. What a mess! You got that one?
Yeah.
Polygamy isn't God's way. You got that? What's God's definite, what's God's idea of, well, not idea, his plan for marriage? One man, one woman. Sorry, government. God says that's what it is, yeah, and that's how it is, and it will always be right God's way. He's not changing his plan, because Jesus has a bride, not several brides, a bride. So it's eternal, not just for now, yeah? Now, number two, God doesn't condone their sin, but in grace still blesses the sinner. Isn't that amazing? God's at work in this family, and they're giving God the credit, as we've said, for some of the stupid things they've done, and somehow it turned out okay. Well, yes, God made it turn out okay, but it doesn't mean to say it was good. We'll come to that later at the end of Genesis with Jacob and his brothers. No, Joseph and his brothers. Yeah? When Joseph meets his brothers at the end, he says something profound and really important. He says about what his brothers had done to him. You meant it for evil. Right? I'm not condoning what you did. Right? It was nasty what you did. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, for the saving of many lives. God can work through your stupidity and your mess. That's no encouragement to be more stupid. Yeah, but you got the idea. God can work through our stupidity. Thank the Lord for that. Grace at work. And thirdly, the promise of a great nation is still on track. Yeah, God said he would build up a nation through Abraham. Yes? And I read a commentary that maybe the wives thought, well, we'll help God out by, you know, having more kids. You know, it's getting the nation on the move, isn't it? Yeah? I don't think so. Because God said to Abraham, I'll make you into a great nation. How many kids did he have?
One.
Well, he had two, Ishmael and whatever it was. Yeah, but it's Isaac that's the one, yeah? And what about Isaac? How many kids did he have? He had two. Right, so the promise still stands for the grandfather and great-grandfather. Is it great-grandfather? Grandfather? No, grandfather and father. Yeah, right, yeah. Grandfather. God's promise stands for them, so does he need to start with the next generation? No, God can work it out as he wants, but that's how it started, yes? So the plan's on track, yep. Next one, number four. The detail of their lives, unknown to them, can be seen as prophetic. Now this is really interesting and technical, and I don't want to go into a lot of detail. I've got our next picture in a moment, but not yet. And it's to explain this. In the stories of the Old Testament, the lives of the people, the things they did, the things that happened to them, were real and part of their lives. But behind the scenes, God is using them as illustrations of what's going to happen later on. Got the idea? Give you one example. Again, I'll be coming to it later with Joseph. Joseph was rejected by his brothers, and only later on did they recognize him. They thought he was Gentile, an Egyptian, and then they realized his brother. That is prophetic of what the Jews are going to do with Jesus. They've rejected him as their brother. They think he's a Gentile. He's the Gentile Jesus. Yeah? And one day they're going to recognize him. He's our brother. Yeah? That's prophetic still to happen. So we're going to wait for that one. But in the lives of these brothers and their names, why did God go into all the detail of getting down the names and what the wife said? Is there some significance in it? Well, some people have thought there is. And I think they're probably right. There's more to the Bible than meets the eye. And I just want to give you a quick resume. The lives of these boys, the sequence in which they're born, and the names that they have, are telling us something about what's going to happen to the nation that they are the founders of. So let's have our next one. Very quickly. Right, we've got the name, the meaning, and the possible fulfillment. Reuben, a son. God saith out of Egypt, and I call my son. So that's where his son started, yeah? Right. Simeon means I've heard. God said to Moses, I've heard the cries of my people, and you're going to get them out. Yeah. Then we've got Levi, attached. God has joined himself to his people at Mount Sinai, in covenant. We have Judah, praise. Well, God gave his word to them at that point. That day, they praised the Lord for the giving of his word. There's great rejoicing. And then, not long after, round about that time, yeah, not long after, Dan, what did they do? They had the golden calf. God judged them. Seriously. Yeah, and then they had a long time in the wilderness, Naphtali, struggling. Not good. Yeah. Then we get to Gad, because God shows them his favour. They're going to enter into battle into Canaan, and they're going to get a victory, aren't they? So we have Asher as the happy lad with the victory. And then they set up a home there, Issachar as the reward for their work, and Zebulun his residence. They've settled in the land. And then Joseph, more! There's more to come. We've got rulers coming. And of course, Benjamin means the son of my right hand. Who's the final son of his right hand?
Messiah.
So in those 12 kids, we haven't got to number 12 yet, but in those 12 kids you've got the history of Israel. Strange, isn't it, how God can use people's lives in amazing ways. Yeah. Anyway, that's just a little technical thought you might like to ponder on. Okay, next up, last one, please. Conclusion number 5. If the chosen family were that messed up, and would you agree with me, they were messed up?
Yes.
If the chosen family were that messed up, there's hope for anybody. Alright, and here we have Jesus' words, which obviously show that's the truth. Jesus answered them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Yeah? God works with human beings that are fallen, broken, damaged, insufficient and inadequate, messed up. And that's most of us, isn't it, really? Somewhere along the line, yeah? And he says, "I've not come to fix the healthy ones." How many healthy ones are there? When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, then you know. Yeah. "I've not come to sort out the righteous." They thought they were righteous. There aren't any. Yeah. There aren't any fully fit ones either. And so he's come to call sinners to repentance. Have you repented? Have you asked Jesus into your heart? That's the question. Are you saying, "This time I will praise the Lord"? Well, are you going to say that tomorrow, brothers and sisters, when you run into another little problem? Yeah. And they ask you for the flowers, they want to be nice to you, and you feel a grudge, yeah? You say, "This time I will praise the Lord." Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we're working on, isn't it?
Yeah.
But as I say, if God can work with messed up people like that, he can work with anybody.
Yeah.
But does he want to keep them messed up?
No.
You know, the day's coming when Jacob, he was a wimp at this point, I think. He gave in to his wives all the time,
yeah.
And silly man, yeah? The time's coming when he's going to have a wrestling match. We'll get to that in Genesis. He's going to have a wrestling match with Jesus. And he comes out of that a different guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got a different Jacob after that. He's not called Jacob anymore.
Israel.
Anyway, we've got to leave it at that. So, dear friends, anybody in a mess, Jesus is able to help us. Isn't that good? You need wisdom, he's got it. You need grace, he's got it. Friends, I just find, like my dear old friend Dick said, after the Sunday, the youth club leader having problems with our youth, "I'm right encouraged. If God can use us and mess him up like that, he can do that with us as well." Yeah? Good. So the Lord can work through that lot. We're in line for blessings here. Let's thank the Lord. Let's pray. Oh Jesus. Lord, you looked at that family, I guess you shook your head sometimes, Lord. And yet, Lord, we're working out your blessings and your plans. You gave them their family, Lord, and with all the problems and the issues, yet, Lord, human life, blessing, and ultimately, Lord, your purpose for a people, for your name. Lord, thank you, we're part of that, through Jesus. And so we ask your blessing, help us, Lord. Lord, I pray for brothers and sisters here, if there's those that haven't spoken to somebody for years, and Lord, they tried, but they couldn't do anything about it. Okay, Lord, but if it's something we can do on our part, Lord, help us to put it right. Like Euodia and Syntyche, to agree with each other. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you're working in people's lives, even when we don't see what's going on. You have a plan. Lord, we want to thank you for that. And we just bless you, Lord Jesus. Lord, for your incredible patience. Oh, Lord, help us to trust you. And Lord, as Rachel discovered, you answer prayer. Not our solutions, Lord, your solutions. Help us, Lord, to trust you. In Jesus' name. Amen.